Yes. Okay. I guess you noticed how the worship team kind of evacuated the front of the platform here pretty fast. They probably knew I'm getting over a cold and they wanted to get rid of it, get out of there as fast as they could. So with that same thing, I'll be taking a swig of this water every so often, and I assure you, this is just water. Now, what I want to share with you this morning is something that goes kind of as an introduction to a lot of stuff. When I was researching this and getting everything together, I timed out what it would be if I'd done the whole thing that I came up to start with. And it was listed at 1 hour and 2 minutes. And since by 1 hour and 2 minutes, I would be the only one left here, I figured I better cut it, so you will get a condensed version. The point is that this is covering a lot of ground, but it has a lot to do with what we're doing now in this church. You see, I want to talk to you about a lot of different things this morning, seeming to be scattered out, but all of it has one main central theme, and that central theme is bodybuilding. Not Arnold Schwarzenegger and not pumping iron, I just tell you that right now. Any iron pumped will already have been taken care of on the platform here. But there is that theme running through all of this. So as we go, keep it in mind to try and understand a little bit about what's happening. This morning, I want to begin by introducing you to a man named Clarence. Clarence is, or at least was, a real person. I say was because these events occurred in a church in Arizona called Christ Church of the Valley about 15 years ago. Despite that, you will probably recognize Clarence or someone just like him. Different situations, different locations, different problems. But there are still plenty of Clarences around. And many of them feel overwhelmed by life. They feel like they have nothing to offer, that they really aren't worth anything. And people like Clarence walk through the doors of some church every Sunday morning. Maybe you are or have been Clarence. Again, he's real, so let's meet him. Clarence comes from a long line of unchurched family. When Clarence had been young, he had been married happily. But his wife had been killed after a couple of years of marriage, and Clarence just felt lost. He had not harbored any particular negative feelings about the church, but it had never really seemed relevant to him either. Now, though, he was looking for some kind of help, some kind of meaning. And one morning, he found himself in a church. He'd come in a little late, but he slipped into the back pew and sat down anyway. Members of the congregation sang hymns and said prayers. One of the hymns was vaguely familiar to Clarence, but he knew nothing of any of the other ones. When people greeted one another, somehow they just seemed to miss Clarence. Scripture reading was incomprehensible. The sermon was full of references Clarence didn't understand. The pastor would say, "Now this is like the story of the prodigal son." And Clarence thought, "What story? And what's a prodigal anyway?" "The grace of God was sufficient to see her through those difficult times," the pastor would intone, and Clarence thought, "Grace? Was that the name of a person God called on to help?" Clarence felt that he'd made a mistake, so he slipped out of the church as soon as he could. But years later, remarried and just moved, Clarence had a 16-year-old son who had trouble with drugs. Clarence and his wife handled things very differently, and things in his world seemed ready to come apart. Clarence decided to give the church one more try. Would he find anything that was relevant there? Would people notice that his life was in tatters? Would he be able to learn anything that would help him? Why do we meet Clarence? Because the purpose of this church, and most others, I hope, is to lead people to meet Jesus, not to give them a self-help lecture or a book. It's to help them grow as Christians. It's to stand with them and support them, to help them and challenge them through their lives, not merely to give them a pile of facts. All of us who come together in this body fall under that kind of a purpose. But what happens when people and purpose meet? One good place to look is in Ephesians chapter 4. The scripture passage is verses 11 through 16. You can follow along if you want. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by the craftiness of deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Now Paul was talking to the church at Ephesus here about how to live as a body, how to live as a united group of Christians. He was talking about people and purpose. He was about talking about what it takes to be bodybuilders. First, who does this bodybuilding? And why does the body need to be built up? Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. You notice there he gives you a short list of spiritual gifts. Not a long one, not complete, but a short one. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. You notice that is the, what sometimes is called the clergy, the leadership, the staff of the church. But notice one thing. He doesn't say, and he gave these people as the staff to do all the work of the church. That is not what he says. He says to equip the saints for the, and by the way, to equip the saints means you and me. We are all the people of the church. To equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Folks, we are called to minister to each other, to the people out there, to the Clarences of the world, because we are called, as the saints of the church, to do the work of the ministry. Now, this is not to say that the staff, the clergy, the leadership should do nothing. There are certain times when the specific gifts needed are exactly what is needed in any situation. But we are to do the work of the ministry. Why? For the building up the body of Christ. We're not just a group of people who happen to be together at a certain time at a certain place. We are a united group, united in Christ to serve each other and to serve the people of the world. We are to build up each other, because that's the body. We are to build up each other to do that work. Then what is the goal of building up the body? It's something that every church really needs to know, because we are not just social clubs. Focus for a minute on Ephesians 4, 13 and 14. Why do we do this, what we just talked about a minute ago? Verse 13, the body is building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let's stop there for a second. To the unity of the faith. That doesn't mean we all subscribe to the same creed, that we all follow the same bylaws, that we all have the same study guide, we all read the same translation. The unity of the faith means that we are united around faith in Christ. Not faith in the church, and I'm sorry to say this, guys, but not faith in the Baptist Convention, but faith in Christ. Christ is what draws us together. Knowledge of the Son of God. Do we know more about Christ? Shouldn't we be learning and growing every day of our lives so that we will know more and more? And then those of us who do are obligated to share that with other people. Mature manhood. Are you kids anymore? I hope not. You're growing. But are we mature Christians? Have we grown up? Most of us are way past school age. Some of you aren't, but you're getting there. But are we growing as Christians at the same way we're growing in our minds, intellectually? And finally, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's how we measure these things. Do you know what that means, really? The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It means growing into Christ-likeness. That's what our goal is as Christians, to grow in Christ-likeness. We're not called to just sit and say, oh, I'm a member, I go to a certain church. That's only the beginning. Are we growing? So, next verse 14, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Have you learned, have we learned what we need to learn? Enough to know what is expected of us? To know what Christ wants for us? To know what we can do and can't do because He has the strength and the power? To know what is right, to know what is wrong, to know whom we can listen to and whom we should shy away from. That's what we need to grow into. Note here that Paul appears to have in mind in these four verses that we just talked about that it is the entire church, consisting of the apostles and prophets and shepherds and teachers and evangelists and so on, as well as all the other saints who should be faithful to the calling of building up the body of Christ. Why? So that spiritual unity and growth may be promoted and be the result in your lives, in my life, in our lives. And this unity in faith is not just intellectual. It's not just how many books we've read, and you all know that I like books a lot. But that's not it. It's not just intellectual, it's heart knowledge. Do we know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, not just in our heads, not just intellectually, but in our hearts? It's a total trust and commitment to Jesus that unites the believer with him and also with all the other saints of the church as well. That's the kind of thing that makes us a body. And that's the kind of thing that we want to grow to be a true body, not just a group of people. The standard is what was right there in verse 13. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Are we as a body growing into Christ-likeness? Now, who is involved in the work of Christ's ministry? The work that is the purpose of the church. What is needed for the body? And remember, when I say the body, that's you and me. To grow. What's needed for us to grow? To mature spiritually? And in what way can we help each other to serve Christ through serving in the body? Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow in every way, into him who is the head. We are to grow into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. That's bodybuilding. And what is involved in growing the members of the body? What are some of the things that can help the individual people grow so that the body can be built up? And by the way, what are some of the areas of growth that would help Clarence and the other Clarences of the world that would help us as well? The answer includes a lot of things. Now, Paul doesn't give us a list because he's not putting here a particular pattern on us. He's not saying you've got to do these things. But to help, I'll give you some of the things, some of the possibilities here. What would help us? The answer includes things such as the following. First, the knowledge of Scripture. That's, of course, the main center point of all of this. Second, knowing and growing in the spiritual disciplines. And if you don't know what the spiritual disciplines are, things like prayer and fasting and Bible study, we need to know and grow in that. Things such as finding our spiritual gift. And yes, every one of us, all of us, have a spiritual gift or many spiritual gifts. There is nobody in here who can say, oh no, I'm just too small, too backward, I don't know anything, I don't have a gift. Oh, yes, you do. Find it. Use it. It also includes things such as growing in our relationship to God and to other people. Discovering what it is to be a disciple and growing as one. To discover what are the attitudes of Christ-likeness that need to be shown in the body of believers and in the individual Christian. How can we be of service to others inside and outside the church? I could go on, but there's a good center point for you. These are some of the things that we need to help each other to grow in. Some people will have more experience in Bible knowledge. They need to be able to share that with others. Some people can pray very, very well and very, very long. They need to help others to grow and to learn in that. That's what the body is about. We help each other to grow. And you, all of you, all of us, fit in there as well. You don't know where? We'll find out. Because we're here, the staff, the leaders of this church, are here to help you do just that. To grow emotionally, to grow intellectually, to grow spiritually. This kind of growth is something that we all need. It's never finished. It's not a case of, I've said a prayer, I'm done. Listen to Paul, Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize and the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Even Paul, the writer of those words, who is considered one of the great Christians, one of the great men, does not feel that he has arrived. He doesn't feel he's made it. He doesn't feel like he's learned everything he can, and neither should we. Everyone, on every level, has more to learn about God and their relationship with Christ. We have much to learn about how we live Christian lives in this broken and challenging and ever-changing world. We are all in the process of becoming more like what the Lord has in mind for us. Well, what of Clarence? Getting back to him now, Clarence had a great need. He did not even have a foundation on which to build. He needed the basics. He needed to hear about Christ, the only true source of help and hope. He needed someone to guide him, and he desperately needed someone to care for him and his deep hurts. Do you know Clarence? But how will all of this happen? Who will do these things? Who will help Clarence and help us as we're becoming built up? Remember what we saw in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers. Aha, we say, there it is. They're supposed to do this for us. This is what they're here to do. No, the next verse tells it. To equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Who will help Clarence? Folks, as much as anybody else, it could very well be you. You are to be the saints equipped for the ministry. You are to be the saints who are part of being built up to serve Christ. That's who will help Clarence. Are these gifted leadership types the only ones involved? We'll look at it again in Ephesians 4 and 16. From whom the whole body, it says, the whole body, that's all of us, joined and held together by every joint with which it was equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. If we are all working properly, all doing the thing that God has equipped us maybe uniquely to do, and sharing that with others to help build them up, then the body is built up and the body grows. It appears to me that all the body, each person, has a role. That means that you and I together, yes, all of us, we all have a role to play. Now, there's another area in the body life that's important. Beyond just having a role, beyond just reading a book, praying a prayer, reading a scripture, and that is the need to be with one another. Not just to know another person, not just to belong to an organization, but to be gathered together in large groups and small ones. People spending time with Christ, spending time with each other, and inviting others to join in because they really want those others to know this Christ. If we take Jesus seriously and make him the model for our life and helping Christians grow, then we don't need a lot of books or workshops or classes. They're helpful, but they're only resources to the main point, which is personal spiritual growth into Christlikeness. We can help others to accept and to learn and to grow best as Jesus did by being with one another. Here's a few scriptures that illustrate what I'm talking about. Hebrews 10:25. Not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Encouraging one another. 1 Peter 4:9 and 10. Showing hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. This, too, is involved in the ministry of the body and ministry to the body. This is also bodybuilding. What about Clarence? How does this being with one another stuff affect his story? Remember, Clarence is a real person. He has a real life and a real story. He's not just a fairy tale. Clarence was slow to be affected by the church and its people. He had trouble believing that God even cared for him, let alone knew about him. He had a decent experience at worship when he came back. He was greeted. Things were a little more understandable. But at first, he was unsure. He decided to go back for another try. After his first visits, he was greatly surprised to receive a phone call from a couple he'd talked with at church. They invited him and his family to join them if they wanted to come to brunch on Saturday. Clarence went. He didn't really know what to say, even though they were polite. He figured that was the last he'd hear of them. But they sought him out at church. And a couple of weeks later, they invited him again. He went, and this time he found the couple also had problems with a child and with drugs. They encouraged him to talk. And the floodgates burst open, and Clarence took the first hesitant but huge steps towards the Lord in that couple's dining room. Here is real body life. Here is real ministry. It's the reason for bodybuilding. Clarence is representative of the church's mission. To join God in his redemptive work to save the people of this world. People all around us are living in darkness. And they are going to die unless someone finds a way to save them and listens to God who already knows how. The trouble is, so often the church is sleeping on the job. Are we? Too many of us have forgotten why we showed up for work. Even worse, some of us have never learned, never known. Occasionally, in my 25 years as a pastor, I have gotten deeper glimpses into people's lives, what they suffered, what they've gone through, the nightmares they'd lived. When I was a kid, I used to think it would be neat, it would be cool to know secrets and things other people didn't know. Now I know better. Many people have some serious demons in their past, and they still have to wrestle with them on a daily basis. Putting these things behind them is serious and hard work. As ministers of our gracious God, we seek to help people with this burden, and that's a lot of work too. We seek to point them to Jesus, because only there, in many cases, is hope. But you have a part too. As you work at finding your role in God's plan, know that no matter what you've gone through, God doesn't consider you to be used merchandise. He doesn't consider you to be unsalvageable material or, quote, not good enough, unquote. He doesn't say that because you don't have a seminary degree or because you have a sordid past or because you're unremarkable, I can't use you. On the contrary, God not only can use you, but he loves to use you to help others see him through your lives and to begin to understand how powerful and loving he really is. Now, I'm going to change the subject on you for a minute. I want you to imagine coffee beans. You say, huh? Coffee beans. And if the first thing you think of is Starbucks, I'll ask you to consider their prices, and that'll cure you real fast. But let's get back to the coffee beans now. Just a couple of coffee beans. Most coffee beans are not that big, by the way. I hope you know what I'm talking about. Coffee beans are a little thing like this. Pretty scrubby little things, aren't they? But imagine the coffee. Imagine the aroma. And by the way, that's the only thing I like about coffee is the aroma. But still, one bean, or even just a couple, is pretty insignificant. Wouldn't you agree? But considering the amount of coffee that some of you drink, it's probably true. Wouldn't make much coffee out of just one bean. Even one, well, maybe that big would do it. Well, these coffee beans are to represent the Clarences of the world. Small and pretty insignificant on their own. Don't look like much. Don't seem to have too much value. One coffee bean isn't going to make much of a cup of coffee. And yes, that is just how many people feel about themselves and about how they are viewed and treated by others. How can they be bodybuilders if they are treated, if they feel like that? But, if you take these coffee beans and use them properly, they can produce one of the most popular and important drinks in the world. It's just like people, used properly in God's hands. You can take the individual person, treat them right, introduce them and help them to come to and grow with God, and you will really, really find something special. You will find a child of God. We need the people of God to be always growing in unity, in faith, and in the knowledge of Christ. We need all of us to help build up the body of Christ that is his church. We need all of us to be bodybuilders. God says to every person who feels their own inadequacies, their own shortcomings, even their own ordinariness or lack of distinction, God says to you, I wish you were my son. I wish you were my daughter. And he invites you all to come to him and make it so. Let's all of us work to build the body together. Now, I don't know what every person here this morning is thinking, but I do hope that you all realize that God not only can use you and will accept you, but that he has a burning desire to use you, to heal you, to help you, to accept even the most insignificant one of us into his presence. And that is exactly where we need to be. Bodybuilding. Building up his body. Ask yourself, how can we make it so in this church? Let's pray together. Lord, we're trying to grow into your people in the way you want us to be, you want us to live. We pray that you will help us, guide us, give us the strength, let us know what we need to do to become your church, to become your body, to become bodybuilders. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, David. I love any message that ends with coffee, by the way. I do appreciate that. And I love any message that ends with a challenge. A challenge to an opportunity to make a decision in our own lives. And something that we heard today, we're all in the process of becoming Christ-likeness. And the question is, where are you on that spectrum? Maybe you sit here today and say, I've never been a day in my life where I've asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sin and to be my Savior. As you heard David say, that's God's desire. He's just asking you not to do anything. There's no work you can do to earn that. He's simply asking you to accept that personally. That's the first opportunity to respond. If that's a need in your life, you've never come to that point in your life, we'd love to see you take that step today. We'll be up front when we close here. We'd love to have someone sit down with you and show you how you can leave this place today knowing for sure that you are part of the family of God. That's what's most important. But you know what? The Christian life doesn't end there. It doesn't end at the moment of salvation. It doesn't end up there at the moment of baptism. It doesn't end at the moment of church membership. In fact, it merely begins in those various places. Because in those places is where we can say, I'm part of a body, and now God's gifted me to serve. As you heard said, the Holy Spirit of God has equipped everyone with at least one spiritual gift, every believer with at least one spiritual gift. How are we employing those? How are we using those within the local body? Every week, this information guide, it's not just there for information to toss aside on Sunday morning. It's there for opportunities. It's there to say, you know what, here are opportunities, not for us to beg for hands to do things, but for us to open up opportunities for the people of God to employ their giftedness. Maybe you saw something here today. You say, you know what, I want to be a part of that. Or I want to learn how I can grow more into Christ-likeness so I can help build the body of Christ here called Calvary Baptist Church. Whatever the need today, we'll be up front. You want to come say, I want to learn more about how to become a believer, how to place my faith in Jesus Christ. Or you say, I want to come and place my membership here. I want to take steps toward becoming a member of Calvary Baptist Church. Maybe for you, the next step is baptism. That's something that you've never stepped out and taken place. We'd love to work you through that process. Or maybe you just want to come and say, I have a gift. I know I have a gift. I want to use that in some way in this body, whatever the need is. You respond. Incredible opportunities lay before us right now. I'm going to pray. We'll bow our heads and pray. And then the music will start, and that's your opportunity to come forward and respond. Dear Father God, we just thank you for the opportunity you laid before us through a very challenging message from your word today. Lord, I just pray that you would help each one right now to know how you'd have them to respond. Some toward salvation, Lord God, I just pray that you draw people to yourself this morning. Some perhaps toward taking a step of baptism or church membership. I pray that you'd give them the courage they need to step out this morning. Lord, some to just say, I used to use my giftedness, and it's just been a long time since I've done that. I want to step out and be used within this body to build the body. Others to say, I want to explore how I might be gifted and how that might be used here. Whatever the need is, I'm willing. Lord, I pray you'd give courage where it's needed, and I pray you'd bless these next few critical moments. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.